Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Hi.
I just jumped straight in there. No messing about.
No fucking about.
Not on this podcast.
No, we're the highest tiers of professionalism of all times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
We've not got anything to say, have we?
Let's just let our thoughts do the talking.
Okay. Is that what your thoughts sound like?
Yeah.
Like they're trapped behind a wall and can't quite get out.
That's a beautiful imagery for thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a sad one, but a beautiful one.
And they sound like...
No, welcome to the podcast where we talk about books and open them up, put our penises inside, squish them shut, and then hope the pages don't go all see-through.
Gifton does that. I tell him it's not a necessary part of the podcast, but he thinks it's where the magic comes from.
It's so much harder when you have an e-reader.
Scraping it along that motherboard.
Oh, God. Have you ever had a short circuit on your penis? It's something to behold.
All right. What are we talking about today?
Are you right?
Yeah.
So, I looked at you then, and, I saw, the hope go out of your eyes. I was like, oh, it's on.
No, I just realized I had nothing, no continuation to your short circuit joke. So, I thought, all right, let's just start the podcast then.
Oh, God. What are we talking about today, Tom? We're
talking about bloody Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah.
Some chapters.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we have a new word instead of yeah, we say a different word?
To just, that generally just means answering in the affirmative.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah is so deeply ingrained though.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. I don't know, what can replace it? Should it be a made up word or a repurposed word?
Oh God, we're really, really going out on one inventing words here. We're really trying to reinvent the wheel here. You go for something that is sort of similar to yeah, that if we start saying yeah intentionally we can morph halfway through, yink.
Ooh,
or something.
That's a good idea. What about yonk?
Yonk.
Or Yamaha. Oh, do you remember Roger and the Rotten Trolls?
I do not.
It was a puppet show when he was a kid about this. It was a real life boy and he discovered these trolls who lived in the caves in his village. But there used to be this ram that was a kung fu master that lived on a rock. And this ram had spent its whole life trying to learn the magic of Yim Yam Yaha, which was sort of the force. But he could only, whenever he did it, he could only make he could only slightly dislodge the corned beef in someone's sandwich. So he would do it and it would cut to a guy miles away, just eating a sandwich, and his corned beef would just go boop. And then he'd go, but then this kid who arrived in the village, when he did Yim Yam Yaha, it sent everyone flying, and the ram was he is the chosen one that I've been waiting for. So yeah, maybe we should start saying that.
Yim Yam Yaha.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I mean, sure.
Yim Yam Yaha. Yeah. Yim Yam Yaha.
Oh, That's going to be a real challenge.
I know. Maybe we should, like, cut it down to, like, Yim.
No, I think we'll keep the whole thing.
Or maybe, no, why don't we split it all up so we can use a different word at each, like, whenever we want. Sometimes we say Yim, sometimes we say Yam, sometimes we say Yaha.
Okay, but when we want to really emphasize the yeah, I agree, we go Yim Yam Yaha.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
You mean Yim Yam Yaha, boy?
Oh my god. Anywho.
Well, that might be one of the silliest things we've ever come up with.
They seem like equal silliness to me.
What, to everything else?
Yeah. Everything we say is bonkers and nonsense.
All right. We begin then with chapter 13, The Secret Riddle.
Yeah, unlucky 13.
Yeah. I mean, Yim. Fuck, that's going to be hard.
Oh my god, I love it so much already. This might be my favourite thing that we've ever done on the pod.
Awesome. I'll try not to let that be undervalued by the fact that you say that once every couple of weeks.
No, but each time it's true, and then it just happens to be overtaken.
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah, so Katie's been fucking taken to the hospital, wouldn't she?
Yim, she has.
Yam and Snape gave her the once over.
Oh, Snape.
Oh, Snape in your snap. Yeah, so he was like, okay, so I'm going to put the wand here. Can you feel that? She's like, yes. He's like, okay. Well, if I put it here? She's like, yeah, I can still feel it. It's okay, well, if I put it here? She's like, yes, I can definitely feel that one. And he's like, so she can still feel things. And Madame Pomfrey's like, what are you testing for? And he's like, I'm just doing the required wand probe for any afflicted students. It's in the handbook the Dumbledore gives to all new teachers.
Madame Pomfrey's like, oh, of course, yes, the wand probe. Yes, carry on.
And it says that if they can't feel anything, to report to Dumbledore immediately. He must know at once.
He'll make them feel again.
Yeah, so Harry starts talking about every time he talks about Malfoy being a deaf muncher, the other two keep on like pretending that they can't hear him.
Yeah, they just... I mean, I was even thinking, try and phrase this in a way where you don't have to say yeah, like just carry on from where he's talking. I still did.
Oh my god, it's so much fun.
So they just sort of act like they can't hear him when he starts talking about Malfoy.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel like it's going to get old.
So Harry goes to his next lesson with Dumbledore the Conqueror, and it's everything he would want it to be. It's spooky, it's memory, it's...
exploring Dumbledore's sticky white liquid again.
Yes, it's exploring Dumbledore's pastry oven, as he likes to call it. Harry, would you like a sample from my bakery today?
Would you like a croissant, Harry?
And Harry's like, yib yam yaha! Oh, Harry, what a treat you are. Yeah, so Dumbledore, like, Harry goes to Dumbledore's office not knowing if he's going to be there because he's been gone a week, but he knocks and he hears, come in. And Dumbledore says that Katie was lucky to have only, like, touched the necklace with, like, the smallest bit of skin because she had, like, a hole in her glove. And he's like, if she had touched it with any part of her bare hand, she would have died immediately.
And if she touched it with her human hand, God knows what would have happened.
If she touched it with the tip of her tongue, she would have become that scary squid woman from The Little Mermaid. And Harry's like, fuck it, hell.
You mean Ursula? No, Ariel.
Yes, he's the ginger trolley wallop who's the fucking the mess maker for that entire film.
You know what feet are called.
Oh, yeah, then Harry's like, why did Snape do it? Why was he the one to do it instead of Madame Pom-Pom? And Doyle's like, he knows a bit more about the Dark Arts than Madame Pomfrey, Harry. And Harry's like, yeah, I bet he fucking does. I mean, yeah, I bet he fucking does.
Exactly. And there's the Dumbledore cracks the pensive out again.
Yes, he's like,
and then he goes and gets the pensive.
Yeah. Harry's like, wow, you're really getting good at throwing that glass frisbee. That one was like, thank you.
Now on to the lesson, Harry. So they go to pick up from where they left off.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, oh, no, that was good.
Yeah, you sort of said it by accident then.
Yeah.
So he says that on someone, Burke. I can't remember what he says the first name is.
Caractacus Burke.
Alexandra.
Yeah, you know the really fucking annoying one on X Factor? You know the one who Beyonce won it, really?
So, Mr. Burke's... Based on Mr. Burke's evidence... Oh, yeah, that's it. Merope sold him Slytherin's locket.
Yeah.
And he recognised it for what it actually was, and she was so desperate, he only gave her 10 galleons for it.
Yeah, even though it was damn near priceless.
Yeah. But, yeah, she was, like, heavily pregnant at the time.
Yeah, she was, like, 8 centimetres dilated already.
Making a mess all over Borgin and Burke's floor.
Yeah, she was like, I'm about to have a baby. Can you sell me... Not sell me. If I wanted you to sell me this locket, that'd be weird because I've just sold it to you.
I'll give you 15 galleons for it.
Yeah. Have you got anything for late-term abortions?
At this point, really just like a sword.
Oh my god. And Harry's like, what the fuck? Why didn't she just use like magic and shit? And Dumbledore's like, it's my belief that she stopped using the magic the moment her husband left her.
Mm.
Or that her sadness simply sapped her magical powers.
Which can happen.
Yes, it happened to me twice in my life. But don't worry, I just killed the next wizard I found and sucked their blood. Look, I'm magic again. Woo! And Harry's like, wow, you truly are the greatest wizard who ever lived. He's like, thank you, Harry. Have a biscuit. And he's like, you've got biscuits too? And he's like, of course!
McGonagall's merely my apprentice.
That's why she only makes shortbread, you see. Mine are much fancier.
Yeah, I've graduated to pastries.
Do you know how hard it is to make a croissant, Harry? And Harry's like, I don't want to know. He's like, no, I'll show you. And he bends over and just like excretes one. Harry's like, fucking hell.
I know I made it look easy, Harry, but the best make it look effortless.
Yes, of course, they're all pan au chocolat, but...
On a light fibre day, pan au raisin.
Oh, God. Anyway, Dumbledore's like, Merope Riddle chose death in spite of a son that needed her.
Yes, because she was fucking mental.
Yeah. And Harry thinks that's kind of, like, bad, because obviously his parents, like, didn't have a choice about dying. But Dumbledore's like, look, she suffered a lot, man. Like, she gave it her best shot, which I think she really did. Like, I just think she had nothing left to give.
I mean, there was really not a lot for her at any point of her life, was there?
Yeah. I feel so sorry for her. Out of all the people in this entire book series, I feel sorry for her the most.
I mean, she had it pretty rough.
Yeah. And she had like one golden year, and then even that would turn out to all go to shit. And then she gave birth to the most like villainous wizard in the world. Fucking hell. Her lass. Her lass, she died in an orphanage. Yeah. I mean, that's something, I guess. At least she didn't die on the street. I mean, almost, but hey, at least she had a roof over her head.
Exactly.
A roof over her head and a glass of gin in her hand. And then they simply set fire to her afterwards. She wasn't even dead. They're like, oh, sorry, I thought you had died. Oh my god. Anyway,
do you want a salve, or are you sort of on your way out?
She's like, oh, thank you very much. I've always wanted to see myself burned to death. Yeah, well, you know, it's a full service orphanage. Oh, God. Anyway, and then Dumbledore's like, now we're going to go into my memory, Harry. Isn't this exciting? And he's like, yeah, boy. I mean, yum, 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 ha, boy. And then they go, whoo, into his memory.
Yeah, that's the sound you have to make, Harry.
Yeah.
Let me hear the pitch. they see young Dumbledore in his plum suit.
Yeah, I thought his suit sounded pretty snazzy. Dumbledore's on his way to the orphanage.
Basically, he arrives at the orphanage and the matron woman, whose name I've forgotten, starts asking him questions, and Harry's like, he could tell she was pretty sharp.
Her name is Mrs. Cole, or Miss Cole, rather.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes in and has like a meeting with her, and he's like, one of your people here has got a place in my school. And she's like, what fucking school? And he's like, Hogwarts. And she's like, really? Like, how did he get this?
Who signed him up? Who paid for it? How the hell has this happened? And Harry's like, yeah, she's not just going to take this line down. And then Dumbledore does magic on her to make her.
Yeah, and then so he waves his wand over a bit of parchment. Not a bit of parchment, just a bit of paper, which is what it should be in Hogwarts too, because parchment's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then Mrs. Cole's like, oh, yes, I see. This all spells it out perfectly.
Yeah, and then she takes him in to see young Tom. Oh, yeah, as she said, Tom's mother left instructions for his naming, like, on her deathbed. And I sort of wondered, why would she want his middle name to be after her father? Her father was a dick.
Yeah, but I think it's like it was still her dad, you know?
I guess she never knew anyone else.
Yeah, I like doubt she knew her mum. I'm guessing her mum probably died. I reckon her mum died in childbirth with her. And I reckon maybe that's part of the reason why her dad hated her so much.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's probably like the only like kind of like parent she's ever known. So she's just like, look, I want him to be named after my dad.
Yeah, but you'd have thought she would have some resentment for him for...
She probably does, but, you know, that's still that part of her. She probably just always wanted her dad to love her, you know?
I suppose.
What you're looking at is the squirrel back.
No.
Oh, damn it.
We saw him this morning.
If you see him again, try and get a video so we can put it on our Instagram.
Yeah, he's being very normal and squirrely, though, just running along one branch.
Yeah, but still, at least people know what squirrel we're talking about.
Okay. Just in case people are having trouble visualising a squirrel on a tree.
Yeah. Because squirrels look like different in different countries, so they might want to see what our squirrel looks like.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, I'll keep an eye out.
Oh, God. Yeah, and she also says, like, look, he's a fucking... She's like, the mum wished he looked... She said, I hope he looks like his dad. And I hope so too, because she was a fucking munter.
I was going to say that.
Was you? Yeah. We're not very kind people, obviously.
No.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we're both disgusting bastards.
Yeah, she wanted him to be called Tom after his dad, Marvolo after her dad, and then Riddle after her dad also. No, after his dad.
His dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, and Dumbledore's like, is there anything you could tell me about him? And the Mrs. Cole says, so he's got a place at this school, whichever, whatever I say, that you're going to take him away no matter what.
And Dumbledore's like, yam. He's the worst boy I've ever known. I feel sorry for anyone who crosses his path. He's a demon. She shakes him by the ruff of his collar. Take him from this place, please. And you're sure he's got a place at your school?
He's a danger to be in an institution with other children. I can't imagine a worse place for him.
I pray that this school is not far out in the middle of nowhere with nowhere to run. And please, please don't let it be in Scotland.
Please tell me there's robust health and safety measures for all of the students there.
If there's a moving staircase, we are all doomed.
Is there any kind of dangerous forest with creatures in it that can kill you? Because, oh, I would hate to think of him near there.
I pray there's not an underground bunker with a fucking huge snake in it. Please tell me at least there's not that. And he's like, well, as far as I know, there isn't that. And she's like, oh, thank God. because if there was, oh, God, I feel sorry for all of humanity. That boy loves snakes.
Buzzing.
What? Buzzing,
yeah, buzzing,
say?
Yeah.
Why? Why? Okay, tell me, is it gone now?
Yes, gone.
I'm just going to keep my hand on my laptop. And the other one is holding a microphone.
You know what? I was thinking that I don't know if we keep this because it leads on from the buzzing thing.
Good.
But I would just love the idea that Cormac McLaggen is Alanis Morissette in disguise. But he keeps accidentally giving himself away by saying lyrics from his songs. That's one of my favourite things.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. Oh my God, okay, let's like keep that as like a thing then.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Oh Harry.
Oh Harry, you control my Chang anytime. Oh God. Anyway, yeah, she's like, look, he had an argument with this boy once, and like the next day the boy's pet rabbit turned out like dead, hung up from a rafter. Like, we can't prove it was him, but like, you know, and there was no way he could have got up high enough to hang it from there, but you know, like, who else could it have been?
Yeah, and there's two kids that went off with him into a cave on a, I don't know, outing or something. And they were never the same after going in that cave with him. He says they just went for a walk, but oh, they're all spooky and hollow-eyed now.
They're all spooky. Yeah, we still don't know what happened. And I'm like, I think I do. I think, though, that's the most, for me, that's the most sinister thing Voldemort's done, because we don't know what happened in that cave and the kids were never the same after. The fact that we don't know, like, I think his most unsettling kind of like fact we find out about Voldemort.
About his early life.
I mean, for me, like in general, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because after that, he just does like a lot of like killing, you know. But what he must have done to those kids must have been something like really sinister. And the fact we are not told what it is makes it even like scarier, kind of.
Mm.
So that, like, I would love to know if like she knows. And she just like, didn't write it, or if she didn't really think about it past that point.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe that's
yeah.
a question that we could ask her. Can you imagine we're at like a press conference and everyone's asking like really like nice questions? And we're like, what did Voldemort do in the game?
Why were they spooky?
And then Dumbledore's like, you do realize that he will have to come back here during the summers. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, as long as he's gone most of the time.
They go in to see the young Tom Riddle. Well, yes. Dumbledore goes in to see him and Invisible Harry and old Dumbledore follow.
So they go in and young Tom is wearing a motorbike jacket, some sunglasses, smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
He's like, hey. Dumbledore's like, hello.
He's got all like Harley Davidson posters up on his wall.
Yeah. pictures of Olivia Newton-John. And he's like, so what are you doing here? And Dumbledore's like, well, okay. Well, first of all, let me tell you my name. He's like, I don't care what your fucking name is. It's like, well, fair dues.
Well, aren't you a character?
Yes, I can tell you're going to get along famously at Hogwarts. We need a greaser, you see. Yeah, and then he basically explains about Hogwarts to him.
Yeah, and Riddle is very suspicious. And he's like, no, you're a professor, like a doctor. You're not, it's not a school, it's an asylum. And he like commands him to tell the truth in a very like rehearsed and commanding voice.
Yeah. Which I guess was sort of like a spell.
That kind of innate spell casting that young kids can sometimes do, I guess, just sort of manipulated into a way that he can use to influence people.
Yeah.
And he can influence people to do things or tell the truth or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Or sing songs with him.
Or yeah.
Give him chills.
Or believe his lies about nailing a girl under a bridge on the beach.
Also, I don't believe that Sandy did that.
Did what?
I don't believe that Sandy let him go all the way.
No, I think the idea is that he's lying about it, isn't it? I thought so.
Oh, of course, yeah, because he's making that in the song like he proper, like, you know, like, did her up the rear, and she was just like...
Yeah, she's like, we stayed out till 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Go summer... Nah.
Oh God.
Right, let's both try and do it, and I'll be Sandy.
All right, so I'll just hold that note, and you'll do that.
Okay. Oh God, I'm scared. Okay. Okay, do you want to do like sort of like the he does to like cue us in?
Okay.
Oh, good.
Summer day, ba-da-da-da, but though summer,
oh, my God.
Well, that went about as well as expected.
Oh, my God. Fucking hell. I hope that we can keep that in, like, a salvaged form. Oh, dear.
Oh, I hope we have to cut the whole thing.
Oh, God.
Anyway... Yeah. Dumbledore tells him that what he can do, that thing when he hangs the tea towel in front of his crotch, is magic.
Oh, God. Yes, that thing where you throw up in your sister's mouth, that's magic, Tom. He's like, wow. Oh, fucking hell.
It's magic that I can do. And Dumbledore says, well, what is it that you can do? And he's like... All sorts. He says, I can make things move without touching them. I can make animals do what I want without training them. I can make bad things happen to people who annoy me. I can make them hurt if I want to.
Mm. And then Dumbledore sets the water on fire to show him things. And then he extinguishes it. And then Voldemort says something. And then Dumbledore's like, firstly, I think there's something like... calling for you in the wardrobe or something, and it's like a little metal box that's in the bottom of the wardrobe, and it's like jangling, and it's got little like possessions in it that Tom has stolen from other students. And the Dumbledore says, we don't tolerate thievery at Hogwarts. And Tom's like, oh yeah. And then Dumbledore's like, so you need to give all this shit back. And then Tom's been like ultra polite, and you can see like the shift in when like, because one thing that Dumbledore says is that it's quite clear that Voldemort, in his conversation with Dumbledore, in the like excitement of finding out he was special, he sort of like gave away his like true nature, which he never really did before or after that.
Yeah.
because he sort of like, he catches himself sort of in the midst of the conversation with Dumbledore and starts speaking to him like how you would expect a student to speak to someone, because Voldemort knows that's how he should be.
Exactly. And I think because he has no interest in speaking politely to Dumbledore when he thinks he's a doctor from like the asylum or whatever, or when he thinks he's just there to like study him or whatever. But I think there's an element of, he realizes quite quickly that getting on this man's good side or being polite to him and acting how this man expects him to is going to be advantageous for him.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I think he sort of realizes how foolhardy it was to show his delight at like the awful magical things he can do.
Yeah, he realizes that quite quickly as well. Yeah, and just puts the shield up and keeps it all to himself as quickly as he can, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then so he says, so Voldemort's like, right, so what do I do now? And Dumbledore's like, well, there's a fund at Hogwarts for people who are shit poor, so here's some money, and you can buy your school things with that. If you need accompaniment to the place where you buy these school things, and Voldemort's like, no, I can do it on my own, just tell me where to go. And Dumbledore's like, okay, well, there's all instructions in this little leaflet I've made for you. It's called 10 Things to Do in Diagon Alley When You're the Dark Lord. and then Dumbledore's like, so I'll see you if you make your way to King's Cross on the 1st of September. There's a ticket in there for you. And I'll see you at school, bitch. And then it's like, oh, okay, cool. And Dumbledore goes to leave. And Voldemort's like, I can talk to snakes as well, you know.
Is that normal for a wizard?
Then Dumbledore's like, of course, I can do it. I don't always call them snakes. Sometimes I call them one-eyed wiggling Welshmen. Sometimes I call them purple-headed custard chuckers. Anyway, good day. He shakes his hand and walks off.
So they go back to Dumbledore's office.
Yes.
Dumbledore says he wasn't nearly as worried about the snake talking thing as he was about the boy's clear inclination towards cruelty and control and manipulation of others.
And he thought it was weird that at this age he was already using his powers to, like, harm other people.
Yeah, he has remarkable control over his powers already and has chosen to use them in some very disturbing ways.
When Dumbledore was talking about getting to Diagon Alley, he said that you'll go to the Leaky Cauldron. If you speak to Tom the barman there, he'll show you how to get into the alley. You'll find... And then Dumbledore mentioned something about them, sharing the same first name. And Voldemort reacts quite badly to it.
Yeah, not badly, he doesn't want such a horrible, nasty, common name.
Yeah. And then...
Hey!
Not you, so your name's lovely. Dumbledore's like... See the way that he reacted to sharing someone else's name, like anything that linked him to like the common world or anything like that, he was quick to like dispose of.
Yeah, he wanted to be unique and notorious and self-sufficient.
Yeah. And look how secretive he was. And then he says something which I was like, fuck, you know, yeah, of course. He was like, because he was so self-sufficient, he had no desire for friendship. And then he's like, it's my firm belief that Voldemort has never had or never desired a friend. Even his Death Eaters, who think they're like his most closest confidant, are mistaken. He has no capacity for it and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on.
And the most like, interesting sort of fact, because it's something that serial killers often do, is that he says that, notice how young Tom Riddle liked to collect like trophies of his like magical like wrongdoings.
Yeah.
And that's like something that serial killers will often do. They'll take like a memento from like their victim and stuff, and like, you know, like keep it as like a little treasure and stuff. And I thought, fucking hell, this boy was just bad to the bone. I sort of like that about him though. I like that he was just going to be bad. It wasn't like a nature one. No, it was a nature thing. It wasn't a nurture thing, you know?
Yeah. Although I think up until this point, up until he goes to Hogwarts, the nurture part of his life was probably as... I'm trying to think how to phrase it. If he was going to be nurtured in a way that he turned out to be pretty bad, sounds like growing up in an orphanage where the kids all just wear the same, like, grey smock and...
It doesn't seem like that to me. I mean, the lady who runs it seems like quite like a decent woman. So it seems like it's actually like a pretty all right environment as far as orphanages go. you know, and they go on field trips and things like that, you know. So I feel like it's not, and I feel like JK made it that way deliberately so that you couldn't necessarily blame the way you turned out on being treated badly at the orphanage, because he seemingly wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I think you're right. Yim yam yaha.
Yim yam yaha. And Johnny's like, Olivia, that's not the words. And she's like, ah, okay, sorry.
Johnny?
What?
Who's like Olivia? That's not the words.
John.
Who's John?
Travolta.
Oh. I was like, but his name's Danny. See, another example of me only getting film references when they happen in like old-timely musicals.
Oh, God. Grease is such a fucking good film.
Should we do it in Poorly Read at the Movies?
Yeah, why haven't we thought of that?
I don't know. I reckon there's got to be loads of films I haven't thought of.
Yeah, but Grease should have been like...
That should have been high up
ones.
On the list, yeah.
Yeah.
Great, great take-home message at the end of that film.
Yes. Wear lycra and get abortions. Oh, dear. Chapter 14. Felix. Felicis.
So the three are catching up in Herbology about...
Sorry, that has to be the fucking advert for that, right? So when they advertise in Felix, it's like an 80s like power commercial. Like, Felix, Felicis! Ooh, yeah, you're so lucky. And all like the girls are in like leotards and like pouring it over themselves. Then the guys are like oiled up and he's like, oh, yeah. They're like, oh, he's so Felix. Felicis! Felix, Felicis, buy it now! Boom, 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 boom.
But only use it once or twice in your entire life.
Yes. Use it every day and your stomach will turn inside out. Felix, Felicis! Once in a blue moon.
So Harry is...
gay.
Harry's filling in Ron and Hermione about
oh my god
about what happened in the memory.
Yes.
And Hermione thinks it's fascinating.
Of course she does. She's fascinated by everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she tells him that he's not going to get out of Slughorn's Christmas party.
Well, she does say the last one was quite fun, so...
Yeah, she does say it's not, like, it's not that bad a kind of fun.
Yeah, like, there's free food, there's, like, vol-au-vents, and...
It's a wide selection of pastries from somewhere.
Lots of pain au chocolat. I'm not going to lie, Harry, they smell a bit funky. And Ron is fucking vexed that he ain't been invited. And
yes.
Ron's like, well, be good at something, and then you will.
Yeah, simple, Ron.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I can tie the stem of a cherry into a knot just using my tongue. And Hermione's like, really? And she just jumps on the table and hoists up her skirt. And he's like, okay, well, I guess I could put it to use now. And then Professor Sprout's like, not in Herbology. Or at least let me get a video camera. Don't worry.
Yeah, I doubt you've left me behind on that one.
Oh, God. Sorry.
So as a result of that, I assume, Hermione asks Ron if he wants to go to Slughorn's Christmas party with him, with her.
Yeah, but this is our... No, he calls it shit. And then she's like, well, I was going to invite you. And he's like, ah, but you still can. She's
yeah, like, he's no, like, oh, no. Yeah, no, I might want to go, you know, maybe. And then Harry worries about the implications of Ron and Hermione potentially going out and if it's going to ruin their friendship. And then there's so much fucking teen relationship drama in this chapter that I just really struggle to give any number of shits about.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's so...
I suppose it has to happen, because it's just not realistic to have a, you know, a book with characters of this age going through school and have it not happen at all.
That's true, but this whole relationship between Harry and Ginny, it's always felt so forced to
me. Yeah, me too.
Because he doesn't really talk to Ginny that much up until this point, really.
Yeah, it's just we get sort of like overviews of like how he spent the whole summer with, you know, with her and joking around with her in a sisterly kind of way.
Nestled in her lap, feeding her gooseberries. Getting grass stones.
And then helping her up from the floor after having pushed her over.
Oh my God. See, Harry goes back to the common room and he fucking sees Dean and Ginny like just having full on sex outside.
Yeah, outside in the corridor. But there's so you've glossed over the Quidditch details as usual.
Oh, really?
So Katie Bell's still not back from the hospital, and Harry has asked Dean to be a chaser instead, which Seamus is all disgruntled about. And they have a terrible Quidditch practice with Ron all disheartened, but Harry's trying to like reassure him and, you know, give him a rub down and stuff.
Yeah. And
it's when they're on their way back from that Quidditch practice with Harry being all like, nah, mate, you'll be all right. You're fine. You just need some confidence. Then they run into Dinny and Jean.
Oh, the cute little lesbian couple in Gryffindor.
Oh, no one minds them snogging in the corner.
You can tell which one's the butch one by their haircut, you see. Oh God!
I'm not touching that with it. I'm not coming within a mile of that.
Oh God!
So Dean sort of goes, "Oh, all right, boys. Yeah, I was just going inside. See you later, Ginny," and shakes her hand, and then gives a fadgy little tickle, and then goes inside.
Like, oh, Ron, you just walked in on me plundering your sister. How'd you feel about that? And he puts a mic in his face. And Ron's like, well, you know.
I mean, it'd be nice if I could plunder someone.
Yes, I sort of thought it'd be me who did it first, but okay. Oh, you rural families and your weird traditions.
I grew up in a rural family.
I know, Tom.
I hardly ever touch my brother's pee-pee.
No, between brothers is frowned upon. But a good sister plunder is a wonderful Easter treat. A sister plunder and a cream egg. There you go. But not on the table. That's where we're going to have our turkey in a minute. Like, oh, sorry, Dad.
Your mum's just browning it at the moment.
Oh, look at that lovely glaze. Oh, God.
How did we get there?
I don't know.
Fucking hell.
But I hate that we've coined the phrase sister plunder. Oh my God.
So Ron and Ginny have a little fucking shouting match about snogging and how Ginny's all saying Ron's never snogged anyone, and maybe if he did some snogging he wouldn't be so annoyed. And I just want them all to stop saying the word snogging because it's a horrible, disgusting word.
Yeah, it's such a horrible term, isn't it?
Yeah. Gross.
There's nothing like, I don't know. What's another word they could have used?
I mean, do you want an actual alternative or are you going to make up something silly? Because frankly, the amount of nonsense in this episode already.
I'm here for the nonsense.
Yeah. Yum, yum, yah. Me too.
No, I don't know.
I mean, I've sort of adopted the American term making out.
Yeah, me too, really.
That's fine. That's much... Snogging is... I always hated that word.
I kind of want a term that sounds less abrasive, but slightly more invasive.
Blundering.
What's akin to plundering?
Pillaging?
Pillaging, a face pillage. Maybe if you did more face pillaging.
A face incursion.
A
fincursion.
A fincursion. Yeah, maybe if you did more fincursions, Ron.
If you were more fincursive.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Have you even fincurred anyone's face, Ron? Maybe. Is that working? And so the next few days, Ron's all pissy and aggressive and is getting worse and worse at Quidditch, which is making him even more pissy and aggressive. And Harry's like, and he's to the point where Ron's just, he's not saving anything and he's shouting at everyone else. And Harry's like, look, Ron, I know you're my mate, but if your attitude doesn't pick up, you're off the bloody team.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, mate, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm hopeless and I'm useless. I'm as useless as a chocolate teapot. So that night, Harry lies awake, not knowing what to do, and then he has a flash of inspiration.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
The next day, they go to breakfast, and Lavender appears, and she's like, oh, good luck, Ron. I know you'll do great.
Does she?
Yeah, what were you listening
to? I don't know. I haven't got notes about any of that, and as we both know, anything you haven't written a note about completely disappears from one's head.
Yeah, Tom's like, my notes are completely different. On mine, it says that Sandy stayed at Rizzo's house that night.
So the next morning, over breakfast, Ron's all deflated and depressed, and Harry goes to give Ron some pumpkin juice and quite obviously puts something in his drink. And Hermione's like, Harry, stop. You just put something in Ron's drink. I'm like, Hermione, why would you do that? Why would you like call it out like that? Just like... Yeah, and then Ron just looks about this argument about whether or not Harry's put anything in his drink and just goes, fuck it, and drinks it anyway and doesn't ask any questions.
Yeah, I am thirsty.
Yeah.
In every way.
He is.
Yeah.
I think that's largely his problem, to be honest.
Yeah. I was watching something yesterday and this woman went, she is thirsty. I mean, she is completely dehydrated. And I was like, what a great...
Well, Ron is completely dehydrated. Yeah. He needs to get something wet.
And if it happens to be his sister, that'll be it.
So the Quidditch match happens.
It does.
The Slytherins aren't playing Malfoy as Seeker because he's ill, and they're not playing their best Chaser, so they've got two randoms in their place. Mm-hmm. The new commentator is now Zachariah Smith, who, as we know, is a dick.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in Hufflepuff. I thought he was in Ravenclaw.
I had no prior sense of his house. That's my contribution to that.
But yeah, Malfoy says he can't play due to injury, and this makes Harry curious. And Ron is like, fucking hell.
He says he's ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's different to due to injury.
Sorry, no. And the last time he couldn't play was due to injury, and Harry thinks this is weird.
Yeah, because last time he'd organised the match to be rearranged at a time that better suited Slytherin. This time he's just happy for a substitute to come in and play.
So Ron is like, fucking hell, so Malfoy being off, and that other guy, that's bloody lucky, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's like, Harry, you put that thing in my drink. Ah, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, what's he up to, eh? What's he Fuck bloody knows. Up to? Oh, he's playing a Quidditch match. The excitement.
Oh, well, basically Harry catches their snitch and they win.
Yeah, and Ron does super well.
Yeah, super well.
And at the end, Hermione accuses Harry of spiking Ron and he's like, oh, that's rich. Confunded anyone lately?
Yeah, and Hermione's like, oh, why I are the...
And then he's like, look, I didn't do it. Here you go. I didn't do anything. I just wanted Ron to think that I had so that he'd think he was lucky.
Yeah, everyone's like, so I didn't have any lucky potion. Yeah, like he rounds on Hermione. He's like, oh, you thought I couldn't fucking do it with that potion? And she's like, no, Ron, that's not what I meant, even though it was. And Ron's like, yeah, do you know what? Go fucking sit on a stick of dynamite, you fucking bollocks wagger. So then they go, they kind of go back to the common room.
Yes. And there's all post-match celebration, and Harry gets all caught up with, you know, people asking to sign various parts of his body. Yeah. Usually it's the other way around, but Harry insists on it being that way around.
Yes. Oh, God. And then over in the corner, Ron is getting... What is the word we come up with?
Oh, fuck knows.
Finiscus or something like that?
Oh, it was fincursioning, but that doesn't really work. Yeah. Fincurring? It's not great. We can do better.
I don't know. Mountaineering? Ron is mountaineering. Lavender Brown. Yeah, boy.
He's got his spiked boots.
Yeah, he's baking Lavender Brown.
He's baking her.
Yeah. Yeah, what's like a cooking term? What's like a really like posh French cooking term?
Marinade. He's sautéing her potatoes.
Yeah, he's caramelizing her onion.
Poaching her eggs.
Yeah, boy, I love that. That's it. That's it. He's poaching her eggs.
Really posh French cooking term, that.
He's giving her a Michelin star. There we go. And Hermione, like, leaves and cries in a classroom.
Yeah, and Harry goes off to find her, and she's in a locked classroom, and then they start to have a conversation about it. And then Ron and Lavender burst in.
Yeah.
And she's all like, whoops. And she goes out. And then Ron stays in the classroom with them for some reason.
I thought that was
weird. Yeah, so wouldn't they both? I thought they were both just going to go out and like find somewhere else. But she goes outside and Ron is in there just like, sorry, didn't know you'd be in here.
Yeah. And then Hermione's like, oh, it's fine, Ron. And she's like conjured some birds to fly around. And then she goes to leave. And then she goes, Impugno. And then the birds fly at Ron.
Yeah, and scratch up his fists.
Yeah, and then Ron dies.
At last.
Yeah. And Hermione has her way with his corpse.
In front of Lavender.
Yeah. Lavender, if you sit in his face and I sit in his pee-pee.
We'll give him everything he wanted in life, but he won't be able to appreciate it.
Yeah. Harry, take a picture. I'll send it back to Mum. Go.
Send it to Molly.
Yeah. Your boy died as he lived. Covered in puss.
All right, chapter 15, The Unbreakable Vow.
What is 15 in French?
15. Yeah.
Chapter 15, The Unbreakable Vow.
Yes. Anyway.
Lavender.
Brown. Was that like a cat trying to say the word brown?
I don't know. Just had the urge. I had the urge to brown.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
You know, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
So Harry and Hermione have been chilling in the library a lot.
Yeah.
Because Ron and Lavender are just...
face-hugging.
Yeah. We came up with another word that was better than fincursion.
Poaching her eggs.
That's it. Ron's poaching Lavender's eggs all up in the common room.
He's giving her an English breakfast.
Yeah.
Sausage and beans, thank you very much.
Ketchup or brown sauce or both.
Oh, fucking hell. She's like, well, I've got another 3 days left, Ron.
Brown sauce it is, then.
Yes, I had a laxative tea this morning. Oh, God.
Hermione tells Harry that he needs to be careful because she's heard a pack of girls led by Romilda Vane plotting to give him a love potion. Madame Pince comes up to them and is like, what have you done to that book? She sees the Half-Blood Prince's book and he's like, oh, nothing. It's not the library's book, it's mine. So she closes the library and kicks them out. And they go back to the common room. And they say baubles to the fat lady because it's the new festive password. And she says, same to you. And then opens up.
And I was thinking, just about to make that joke, and I didn't realise that is what she actually said.
Yeah, that's what she actually said. And I thought, does she just say that to everyone, do you think? Does she just repeat the joke again and again and chuckle to herself every time?
I mean, if I was her, I would.
And have, like chart people's reactions.
Yeah. 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 All right,
I say she does that.
Yim yam your heart. Yeah.
And as soon as they get into the common room, Romilda comes up to him and offers him a drink or some snacks or something to take up to the common room. Yeah, and then in Transfiguration, they've moved on to human transfiguration, which is they were trying to change the colour of their eyebrows.
Yes.
And Hermione laughs at Ron for giving himself a handlebar moustache, and then Ron does a pissy impression of her and she runs out crying.
Yeah, so Hermione runs into the bath and Harry goes after her because he sees her nude is bigger than Ron's.
Yes. And she's left a load of her shit around the place in the classroom.
Yeah.
So Harry mops that up and then goes after her.
He's like, oh, I see she had some of Ron's tea. And so he runs out after her and he finds her coming out of the bathroom with Luna Lovegood.
Better late than never, eh, Hermione?
She's like, I did just manage to make it to the bowl in time. Oh, God. But I've ruined my favourite pair of stockings. And I was like, don't worry, you got magic. She's like, that's true. I can turn my feet into pumpkins. That makes everything better. And Harry's like, it sure does, baby. It sure does. Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, she comes out with Luna.
Yes. And then Hermione sort of goes off somewhere. And Harry is suddenly struck by, like, oh, Luna, do you want to go to Slughorn's Christmas party with me?
Yeah. And she's like, and then he's like, just as friends. And she's like, oh, I'd love to go just as friends. I've never been invited to a party as a friend before. And I'm like, so have you been invited to a party as, like, romantically, like, a lot then?
Oh, yes.
Yes. I'm quite the concubine.
Oh, my eggs have been poached a dozen times, Harry.
Every warlord this side of the Mississippi has taken me to one. There's a reason I'm called Looney Lumpkin. Oh, I've been slammed so hard my eyes switch sockets, Harry. He's like, wow. Maybe I don't want to go just as friends.
Yeah, I didn't even realise this was on the cards.
Can we wear matching gimp outfits? She's like, sure, I've got one in every size and colour. He's like, can I have a blue one? She's like, sure, and I'll wear pink.
Have you got a transparent one?
She's like, Harry, I don't think you've got the body for it.
I like to see it when it's all squished together.
Yes, I like to see things, how do you say, testicle compressie. I like it so tight that you don't know if you're going to be able to have kids after, Harry. And he's like, fuck it, that sounds amazing.
I hate kids.
Oh, me too, Harry. But don't worry, I know spells that can take care of it. In fact, I just had my uterus removed 3 years ago.
No eggs to poach anymore.
Yes, it's created a severe hormonal imbalance, but hey... At least we can fuck without any risk of a dirty baby. And Harry's like, where have you been all my life? Luna, you sure do love kid. And then she's like, oh, sure. Like, what do I have to wear? Should I dye my eyebrow yellow to match yours? And he's like, no, that was just an accident in Transfiguration. Just wear whatever you like as long as it's not stupid. And she's like, And so something she says as well, she's like, oh, yeah, I found Hermione in the bathroom crying. She says it's because of Ron. And then she says, yeah, he says funny things sometimes, doesn't he? But he can be a bit unkind. And then Harry's like, oh, Luna just did that thing of saying an uncomfortable truth again.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. She must get away with saying so much shit. I really love that about her.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with calling stuff as it is when you also do away with a lot of other stuff that lets you function in society. So yeah, the next day they're at breakfast and Parvati comes along with Lavender as Lavender's coming to see Ron, looking almost sort of like embarrassed and apologetic. And Harry and her have a little chat and Hermione tells Parvati that she's going to Slughorn's Christmas party with McLagan.
Yeah, which is like a real fucking score for Hermione.
Is it?
Yeah, like Cormac's sort of like, he's like the jock. He's sort of like the Cedric now that Cedric's dead.
He's not as liked as Cedric, though, or as likeable.
No, but he's sort of like fit and attractive and has all those like qualities that like you kind of swoon over at that age.
Well, Hermione doesn't swoon over him. She fucking can't stand him.
Maybe that's why he likes her.
Maybe.
He's like, I like the hard to get kind of aspect of you, Hermione.
The cold indifference.
Yes, I like the fact that you're a total cunt, Cormac.
And Cormac's like, ironic. Wait.
Why do you have so many spoons?
These aren't what I need at all.
Oh, Hermione. Life has a funny way of creeping up on you when you think everything's okay. She's like, shut up. Oh, God. Oh, where's your other hand?
I can see one's in your pocket.
And she's like, oh, there it is. Wow, Cormac. You really do know how to play the piano.
Stop it. Where are you getting a taxi to?
Oh, see, because it's the 90s, that sign actually means girl power. Oh, Tom. That was great.
What, the sign you hail a taxi cab with is the same as the girl power sign?
No, the next bit is Abraham was making a peace sign.
Oh. Oh,
fuck off. I was so proud of that one as well. Oh, fucking hell. Yeah, alas. Nice, Morissette. Oh, fucking hell. I don't even know where we are.
Oh, they're on their way to bloody Slughorn's party. And they get there and it's Slughorn's office. And yeah, he introduces...
Sanguini,
the vampire, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if all vampires' names are like blood related.
Oh, he sang like blood in French.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought he sounded like a pasta. Well, what would another one be?
Hemoloth.
Okay. O negative.
What other blood words are there? Sanguine and hemo.
Menstruati.
So, and he proposes to write Harry's biography for just if he just gives him a few interviews. And Harry's like, no, not interested.
Sanguini.
Eldred Warple, Sanguini's friend.
Oh, is Warple writing a book about Sanguini? And then he says he wants to write one about Harry.
Oh, maybe that's it, yeah. But Harry's like, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's why there's plenty of books about me, mate.
but there's no, like, Harry Potter biography.
That's because nothing fucking happens. Which is a lie. I mean, we do have 7 books about what does happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And I was like, no, it's all right, mate. There's some woman in, like, she's in Scotland. She's not doing very well at the moment, but one day these books are going to be bestsellers.
Oh, she's doing fine. By the time she was writing this, she's doing fine.
That's true. She's doing more fine than we'll ever do.
Yeah. So Hermione's escaped from McLagan, and the three of them are sort of together, and they accidentally run into Trelawney.
Yes, because they're playing Blind Man's Buff.
Blind Man's Buff.
Buff. I meant to say bluff. I said buff.
That blind man. For yeah.
He doesn't have his sight, but look at those pectorals. He could lift a car. I mean, he could if he could find it.
She says to patrol, and he says to Luna, I haven't seen you in my class lately. And she's like, no, I've got Ferenczi. And she's like, oh, of course. Or Dobbin, as I call him.
And I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I had to Google that because I didn't know what that meant. Dobbin is apparently a name for a farm horse.
Huh.
I guess like you might call a dog Pooch or Rover or something.
Oh, I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and Dobbin is what you call like a farm horse, usually one that sort of plods along patiently with its work kind of thing.
I feel like that's a reference that not many people would get, to be honest.
Yeah, it feels very old-timely. Like, I definitely, like, JK's generation would probably get it, but I certainly hadn't heard it.
Yeah, me either.
Slughorn appears and starts praising Harry, and then just, like, seems to just produce Snape out of nowhere.
Yes.
And is like, isn't Harry spectacular at potions, Severus?
And Severus is like, no. and he's like, ah, oh, I saw him do the draft of living death even better than you did, Snape. Snape's like,
oh, well, I didn't think he had much aptitude for anything when I taught him. He couldn't even tie his own shoelaces.
And Slughorn's like, ah, oh, but he wears Velcro ones. And Snape's like,
precisely.
Oh, God.
And then, yeah, and Harry's like, oh, shit, the last thing he needs is Snape digging around as to why Harry's suddenly brilliant in potions.
Mm.
And then Filch drags one Draco Malfoy into view.
Yes.
And he said, I found him skulking around in the corridor upstairs, said he was on his way here, said he was invited. And Malfoy's like, fine, fine, I wasn't invited.
And then Cormac appears out of nowhere and goes, no, he's not allowed. He's uninvited. And Snape's like,
oh, an unfortunate slight.
Oh, God, I feel like our listeners will know.
Do you think? Because I don't know that a huge amount of our listeners are going to have an in-depth knowledge of Alanis Morissette songs.
I mean, if they don't, then fuck it. I laughed. That's what's important.
Yeah. As long as we're laughing at ourselves.
Yes.
So, yeah, Slughorn's all like, oh, it's this one, Draco, you can stay. I did know your grandfather after all. And then Snape's like, I want a word with you, Draco. Please.
Draco's like, fine, let's hold hands and skip to an empty classroom.
So they do.
Yes. And Harry follows.
Yeah, he immediately is like, well, I gotta hear this. Gets his invisibility cloak out. Follows Snape and Malfoy.
Yeah.
And Snape's all like, we can't afford mistakes, Draco.
Yeah, and Draco's like, okay.
It's like it was sloppy. You got caught.
You're already suspected of having a hand in it.
And then Malfoy's like, ah, whatever. And Snape tries to legilimens him. And Malfoy's like, I know what you're doing. It won't work. I can stop you now.
Yeah. It's like, oh, been having octomancy lessons with Uncle Bella. Uncle Bella?
Yes, I know about her transition.
How's her hormone treatment going?
When is her scheduled a mastectomy?
Oh god. Oh, I want to forget it. That's an awful joke. Anyway, yeah. And the Snape's like, I'm trying to help. And Malfoy's like, I don't need your help, man. I've got a plan. It's gonna work.
Yeah, I'm not alone, and I have help doing it. It's fine.
So he's like, what is the plan? And Malfoy won't tell him.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you were alone tonight and you got caught. These are basic mistakes that we can't afford. And Snape's like, Malfoy's like, you just want to steal my glory. Snape's all, you're being a child. I know your father's arrest and imprisonment must have upset you. But, and then Malfoy just suddenly bursts out the door and Harry has a split second to move out of the way.
Yeah. And then Harry's like, what the fuck? Da, da, da. End of chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That brings us to the startling conclusion of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. No one ever found out what did happen.
It's a real cliffhanger.
Yeah. We start book 7 so confused.
But no, we are actually halfway through this book now.
Already?
Yeah. There's 30 chapters. Hell. That was the end of chapter 15.
Jesus Christ, this is going so fast.
I know.
So much faster than I ever expected. It's going faster than that summer.
That took me a minute. I did a quick scan through all the Alanis Morissette lyrics I know. I was like, no.
Oh, God. So as you guys know, we now have a Patreon where we are hosting our exclusive series, Poorly Read at the Movies.
Poorly Read at the Movies.
And so to whet your appetite, here is an exclusive clip from one of our episodes on The Sound of Music. So yeah, he comes along and then he's like, you should not go into rooms that you are not supposed to, young lady. And then he waves his handkerchief in her face and she's like, oh.
Be grateful it was only the handkerchief this time. And she's like, ooh.
She's like, oh, I fell in love with you the moment you threatened to wave your cock and balls in my face.
I'm still waiting.
Oh, you Captain Von Thirst Trap.
He's a massive bitch at the beginning.
He so is.
He's like, that dress will have to change.
Yeah. I mean, he's right, but he didn't have to be like...
Yeah. He's like, I can make my own clothes. He's like, well then, I'll make sure you get some material. Today.
I'll tell you what, use this toilet paper for now. See what you can do. Here's some PVA glue. Oh, look how hard your dress is. It's like, wow.
I have a thing for crusty tissues, you see.
Wow, what an amazing clip that was. I laughed, didn't you, Tom?
Absolutely.
So yeah, join up to our Patreon. It's $3.99 a month and you get two exclusive episodes of our Patreon-only series, Poorly Read at the Movies. What's at the movies in French?
Au cinéma.
Poorly Read, au cinéma! Oh, God. Also, visit our Red Bubble merchandise page. You can buy apparel and accessories with some cool Poorly Read throwback jokes all over them.
Yes, indeedy.
Yeah. So find our Patreon at patreon.com/poorlyread and find our Redbubble at redbubble.com/poorlyread. Visit us on our socials, Instagram and Twitter at poorlyreadpod. Email us your things at poorlyread@gmail.com and give us 5 stars and an awesome review on Apple Podcasts app. Help us get seen by the world. Help us get the Queen of England to listen to us.
That's the goal.
Oh, God. Anyway, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.